Very well. Okay. So I just wanted to throw that, kind of give you a little heads up on that, and hopefully the sheet will be so filled I don't have to call anybody. So that's my prayer. Let us pray so that God could kind of lead us in this moment of the sermon. Father, we come to you boldly asking you for your Holy Spirit. As we open your word, as we open this passage and dive into it, may you enlighten our minds. May you be able to give us the opportunity to not just understand it and comprehend it, but also accept it and live it out and share it with others. We love you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe do I have a folder, like a binder? All right. Yes. So this... Thanks. So this particular sermon, I named it Priceless Pearl, whichever way you look at it. Okay, and there's a reason for that second part there. It's found in Matthew 13, 45, 46. Thank you, Luane, for reading that. Have you ever saved up for something that you desperately want or looking for? You know, I don't know. I think we've all saved up for something, but maybe something that you cherish, right? Or that you really like, maybe a hobby of yours. And maybe your hobby is a little expensive, so you like, you know, you save up to get that one thing that you've wanted. Or if it ever comes up, you know, you go and get. And so I wanted to share a little bit of a hobby I used to have when I was a kid. And the hobby is I'm a basketball fanatic, so I have basketball cards, you know, the trading cards, or I don't know how you call it, but I have these basketball cards, and as you can see here, I have kind of put each one with a price, right, how much they cost, right, because you want to know how much these cards cost, because there are cards that I have that I just have because they're just cards, and they're players that I might like and stuff like that, but they're not worth much, maybe 10 cents, maybe a dollar, you know. But then I have other cards, for example, that are worth $10, $4, and that adds up, right? I even have one card in particular that has, I don't know if you guys are aware of Dennis Rodman. He's the guy that colors his hair. He started that trend in the NBA, and that card, it's so rare because they messed up on that card. It's a rare card. When they printed it out, they actually put the card, he had one uniform, and the card said that it was from a different team, okay? So they actually messed up, and because of that, it's very rare, and so that card can go up to between $20 to $300 it can sell, depending on what condition is the card. The condition that I have is pretty good, so I might get a good deal on it. But my favorite card of all, and that I'm still looking for, and I collect them, is of the best player ever to live. No, I'm just playing. But is of one of the best, or debated of the best player ever, is the card of Michael Jordan. And I'm looking for his rookie card, because you know how much that rookie card cost? Yeah, I'm just going to give you kind of like a notion. Like, so the last card that was sold of Michael Jordan was in the millions, okay? Was in the millions. Unbelievable, okay? Millions of dollars. I think his latest shoes sold for like over $22 million. Okay, guys? Ridiculous. So if I ever find a Michael Jordan card anywhere, guess what, guys? I might not be here. but, you know, this is something that I like doing. I'm not a, you know, I went through all that, and I organized it, and I look for it, and if I find it, amen. If I don't, that's okay too. You know, what is it that you save for? What have you saved up for lately? And so this particular parable, although it's very short in the Bible, I believe it also asks the same type of question. Jesus tells this short parable about a valuable pearl, okay, a valuable pearl. And we're also going to see that in this short parable, it also teaches us a lesson about the kingdom of heaven. It teaches us about the kingdom of heaven. Another thing that we're going to learn is, what is the true interpretation behind this parable? Is there a true interpretation? Jesus doesn't give an actual interpretation, but is there a true interpretation behind this parable? Now, let's read in Matthew 13:45-46. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one very precious pearl, he went away and sold all that he had and bought it. Wow, very short and sweet, but there's so much punch in this particular parable that I'd like to share with you today. Okay, number one is that in Jesus' time, pearls were something that was very precious and scarce. You know, very hard to find at times. You know, you had to be one of those individuals to go dive deep, you know. And I didn't know that pearls and I thought pearls only were made by oysters, but clams also do pearls. And I was able to, as I was looking into all these different pearls in the world, you know, pearls for a long time have been, I guess one of those precious stones, well, not stones, but it's made out of a whole bunch of, you know, things that, I guess sand, and it's the way that it's made, it's so precious because it takes time, and the way that this muscle, this little, you know, animal just makes this stone, this little pearl thing. And so as I was looking at it and looking at how individuals took this and made it into something that was precious to them. For example, there's been kings and queens that wear these beautiful pearls that are unique. Some of them are really white. Some of them have this very bluish color and so on. And even red pearls, you know. And it's just like, wow, how does this little animal make this little, you know, this little thing that just appears in his mouth due to, you know, its survival and all that. And so as I was looking into this, I was wondering, what was the biggest pearl ever found, right? And so a couple years back, like way, way, way back, there was a particular pearl called the Pearl of Allah, something like that. And that particular pearl was actually the biggest pearl ever and the heaviest. The pearl was about 2 pounds, you know, that's pretty big. And it was like maybe about a foot big or something like that. And I was like, wow, I didn't know pearls. I thought all pearls were round, okay? But no, pearls come in all different shapes and sizes. Recently in the Philippines, there was a man that found a pearl. Do you guys know how big that thing was? It weighed 75 pounds, okay? 75 pounds, and it was 2.2 feet long, okay? 2.2 feet long. And I forgot to actually get the picture of this particular pearl. But can you imagine that? 75 pounds of a pearl? That's pretty impressive. And so, and the value. Let's go and talk a little bit about the value. So the value of the first one that I gave you, the one that says the Pearl of Allah, that one valued at $30 million, okay? So how much do you think the 75-pound one is valued at? $100 million. They call it the $100 million pearl. Okay, $100 million for this pearl. Why do I say this? Because it all depends on how you look at pearls. You may not even like pearls, right? You may not think anything of pearls. But for this particular merchant, he was looking for the one. You know, he was looking for that one thing that really, he probably had a lot of pearls. But he was looking for that one that really stuck out to him, the one that really, he knew the true value of this particular pearl. And so the person who looks for pearls, the trader in this story, it really represents all of us searching for something that is important. And so many of us seek success, money, happiness, and meaning, right? What is the meaning of life? What is really success to me? What is really, how much money do I really need, right? What is really going to give me happiness, true happiness? And we all search for these things. However, these pursuits, a lot of times what happens is we can obtain this, we can have these things, but the reality is that these pursuits often leave us unsatisfied, right? It leaves us unsatisfied. Because as we know, these things a lot of times come and what? And go. They do not last forever. And so when we look in our lives, we can definitely see that this particular person in which Jesus was telling the story of this merchant, this trader, whose job was to find these pretty pearls, people used to think of these pearls as something super expensive and treasures, and they possessed them in a special place in their hearts. And so the seller stands for all of us that are looking for something important in our lives. Now, when the trader finds this one great pearl for a great price, the story takes a turn, though, right? The story, you can imagine as he's looking in, maybe he was looking, I just picture nowadays how people go into the beach and they have this little machine on looking for metals and go beep, beep, you know, with their, and as they're looking for, or they have, I've heard here in actual Washington that we had mines, right, where people were looking, searching for that gold, searching for that one. Just recently in Africa, a couple of gentlemen were searching for gold on a mine, an area that there was mine, and they found the largest nugget ever. I mean, that thing was about probably 6 feet tall, a whole wall of gold. Can you imagine how these young men in Africa that have nothing, what their lives is going to look like in the next couple of days if somebody doesn't steal it from them? Okay, right? Can you imagine their life, how that is going to impact their life, right? It's going to change completely. And for this particular man, for this merchant, it was impactful. It was so impactful that he sold everything that he owned, everything that he had. He probably had some other pearls, right? He probably had some rubies and some diamonds. He sold everything, his gold, everything that he had. He maybe put his house on mortgage. Okay, all right. He probably put it for sale. I don't know, whatever it was. He put everything that he had in order to obtain this one precious pearl. Wow, that must have been some beautiful pearl that he must have had. And so the thing here is that we want to look at is that the seller stands for all of us, right? And this trader that, you know, as he was, we can imagine his excitement and how he was amazed at this one of a kind pearl. He has what we call as an epiphany at this point, a great revelation. And so to him, this great revelation, he basically, what he did was he sold everything. Nothing else mattered to him, right? And nothing else was comparable to this pearl in which he found. It was the most valuable thing in the world to him. In his eyes, this was the pearl of all pearls. And so the pearl stands, in this case, in Scripture, the pearl stands for the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven. As we read that, you know, I know it's a little short text, but the text before that, because remember it says again, the text before that also tells us of a similar situation where someone finds the kingdom of heaven. And as a matter of fact, every other parable that is actually explained is really referencing to the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to make, even though there was no actual translation, and there's a lot of scholars out there that try to translate and tell us what these two verses, especially this one, means, there is no translation. So we have to kind of go with what the context is telling us. And each one kind of drives into what is in the kingdom of heaven, how to get to the kingdom of heaven, what is the kingdom of heaven, what does it mean, and so on, and who's going to be there, and so on and so on. And so it's very important for us to see that in this particular moment, for this man to give up everything because he notices the valuable or the value of this precious pearl, which should be to us the most valuable thing, right, is the kingdom of heaven to us. And so what's interesting about the story is that the trader, he reacted, how he reacted when he found it, right? He doesn't hold back. He doesn't go to his home and he goes and sees what he has. He's like, it sounds good, right? He doesn't go back and he says, it sounds good. You know, the trader finds the one great value in the pearl. The pearl is unique and incomparable. And then this all symbolizes heaven being the most valuable thing in the world. But in looking at essence, sometimes what happens is that this man, he didn't hesitate. But sometimes what we do is hesitate, right? A lot of times we hesitate when we try, when we think of the kingdom of heaven. What is it that he gave up? He gave up all his what? All his belongings, right? His own kids might have said, "Dad, are you crazy?" Right? I can tell you a lot of times when, you know, as an entrepreneur, a lot of times people thought I was crazy. Like, "Omar, are you crazy? You can't do that. What do you mean that you're going to start a business? What do you mean that you're going to do this? What do you mean that you're going to, you can't do that?" Has anybody ever been there and done that, where someone has told you what you can and can't, cannot do because they don't see the value, maybe that the way that you see it, or they don't see what you see, that vision, right? This man had a vision. He was constantly looking for this pearl. And he wanted to find it desperately. He had a vision, and no matter what people told him, he continued looking and searching. My friends, are we willing to give up everything to enter the kingdom of heaven? Is that your vision? Is that our vision today? Right? I hope so. I hope that is our vision. I hope that we see further and further out there than what we see around us. Because what we see around us is not that precious, to be honest. It may look good at first, right? You might see the nice automobiles. You might see the big houses. I mean, I just had friends that came and visited us. And, "Oh, my, this is beautiful. Beautiful place." I said, "I know." You know, took them out to Chelan, and they saw the beautiful houses by the lake, and they're like, "Wow." I said, "You know how much that one cost? $2 million. That one cost $3 million. He's like, "Wow." I was like, "Yeah, this is unbelievable." Right? Just to be on the beautiful blue lake, right? What people are willing to give up, you know, and the fact that many of them don't even live throughout the whole year. They just come parts of the year, right? In the summertime to think, right? And so what are we putting our vision into? Is that our vision, or our vision is of heaven, right? When the trader finds a pearl, he sells everything he owns. And following Jesus does also require the same, right? Letting go of our sins, letting go of our selfish desires, right? And attachments to this world. We cannot be attached to this world and also have heaven, my friends. That's what this parable is really telling us. We cannot be attached to this world and believe that we're, you know, the heaven is ours. We can live here. This is our temporary home. No, but we cannot be attached to it, my friends. How it works? How does all this work, really? Well, we are reminded that the kingdom of heaven, right, above everything, is worth more than anything in this world. God wants us to continue to always think about that. He tells us, we just read in our class, on John 14:1, right? You know, we worry about the things a lot of times in this world, but he says, do not worry. You know, if you believe in my Father, and you believe also in me. And then he goes on to say, for in my Father's house, in heaven, or, sorry, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but he says, for in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I go there to prepare a place for you and so that you can be with me. I mean, he wants us to be there. You and us. You and I. He wants us to be there. And so we must consider that we are what we are willing to give up to enter into God's kingdom. And that is so vital and important, my friends. We have to really consider this. We have to think about it day and night. Like, what is keeping me from being closer to God? What is keeping me from having that true relationship with Christ? Every single day, we have to think about that. Not in a way of that agony and like, "Oh, I'm always a sinner. Oh, I'm going to go to hell." No, no, no. That's not the way that God wants you to worry. That's not what he wants you to think about. What he wants to think about is the promises that he's had for you. The fact that what he has done for you has been giving you grace, so much so that love that he has been poured down to us. And through that love, we love him back. And because we love him back, guess what? You and I are guaranteed a seat in that table that he has prepared for you and I. And so this is something that sometimes is hard to think about, because I'll be one to tell you, I love certain aspects of living here. I'm not going to deny that. Like, I love that I live here and not in New York, for example. Okay? Big difference. Huge difference. Okay? I mean, I love that. I love the nature that surrounds us. When I was able to take my friends and really show them, like, the little bit of, you know, for the little bit of time here, I mean, And they were like, wow, this is beautiful. I was like, I know, I live in a pretty awesome state, in a pretty awesome place. And, you know, got to take them to the school. And they were like, wow, you guys are so blessed, because where they're at, you know, they have plenty of schools too. But, you know, the fact that they have one out there and it's beautiful and it has everything in it. And it was like, all you guys need is kids. And I was like, yes, I know. And so just looking at all that and the blessings, my friends, yes, we can be here for, you know, you can say, well, you know, the America's the best country and we're free and all this other stuff. And but this is just temporary, my friends. This is just temporary. So we have to be willing to give up our nationalism. We have to give up everything, our pride, our everything that keeps us away from God. So that includes material possessions, pride, comforts, and even sins that we need to be surrendering. So in conclusion, I just want to give you this. The pearl, again, represents the kingdom of heaven. According to the context of all this, the pearl represents the kingdom of heaven. A priceless prize. You can't put a price to it, right? You cannot put a price to heaven, to being with God face to face. Like, there's nothing that's comparable to that, okay? We were creatures made in the image of God. The other thing is, to fully enter into God's kingdom, we must be ready to give up everything. Jesus says this. Jesus clearly says it over and over again. You know, you have to carry your own cross, right? You have to give up everything. And lastly, the kingdom of heaven can transform our lives if we genuinely desire it. See, the kingdom of heaven is not just being physically in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, a lot of times we think about, you know, especially as Adventists, we have this thing that, when Jesus comes. And that's amazing. That is the truth. That's why we preach the three angels message, right? That's why we get ready. That's why we are preparing ourselves to be in the kingdom of heaven. But there's the journey part. There is the preparation part. The kingdom of heaven starts here, up here, and right here. If you don't have it here and you don't have it here, how can it be up there? It's not. You're not going to like it. You're not going to like it, because if this hasn't been transformed, if this hasn't been transformed, if your heart and your mind has not been transformed, then guess what, guys? You're not going to like heaven. You're not going to be liking being in the presence of God and worshiping God. That's why Satan left. That's why he bounced. That's why he's no longer there, because his train of thought flipped right on him. He changed, you know, he turned off the switch. We cannot allow ourselves to be switches that are off and think that it's going to happen simply when we get to heaven, it's going to turn on. That switch has to be on now. It has to be on today. And so I like what Ellen G. White says here. And I'm going to kind of share this, because as I was studying, when I went for the 2 weeks of class, intensive classes, one of the classes that I took was in regards to our history as a church and our theology, how it's developed over time. And one of the things that they criticized Ellen White as, you know, some individuals and along the way, when she was there alive and they were all experiencing the moments in which she prophesied, one of the things that they, you know, the believers in her prophecies that they kind of had a trouble believing in her as a prophet was that they're like, oh, Ellen White changed her mind too much. And so they utilize this actual example of the pearl, okay? And so when Ellen White first came out and wrote some of her books, like Christ Object Lessons, she said that Christ himself, when she did the interpretation, she said that Christ himself is the pearl, okay, of great price. That Christ is the pearl of great price. Which, if we analyze it, okay, I can see that. I can see how we're to look for that pearl, right? Man goes and looks for a million other things, but when he finds that pearl, that when he finds Jesus, that great everything, he leaves everything to follow Jesus, right? Because Jesus says, you know, leave everything and come follow me, right? And so, you know, she makes this, and you can look it up on yourself in chapter 9 of Christ's Object Lessons. Christ himself is the great pearl. And you know what? Maybe in your stage right now, you're looking for something, and I want to let you know that that's something that you've been looking for. Yes, Christ is that pearl. Christ is the precious pearl. He is the one number one thing that really matters. There's no price to what he's willing to offer to you. It's already been paid for by him. Amen. And then there's some people that after a while, she also mentions that the pearl is the righteousness of Christ. You know, sometimes we feel that emptiness in our hearts and our minds, and we're looking for what's right, and we're really trying to. Well, she says that the righteousness of Christ is that pearl that we're looking, that one thing that is valuable to us. And some of us need that righteousness. We've lived a life full of sin. We feel guilty in our hearts all the time, and so we need something to liberate us, something to make us free. Well, guess what? It is Christ's righteousness that can make you free. Nothing is good. There's nothing good in me. Nothing that I do will be sufficient to get me to heaven. But Christ's righteousness, yes, and I found it, right? And so that may be the stage where you're at. Maybe you need some forgiveness in your life. Maybe you need to be clothed with that garment, that white garment of Christ over you. I don't know where you're at, but you know. And so there was a period where she said that the righteousness of Christ, that's found in... I wanted to say 1 Samuel, but it's not 1 Samuel. That's found in Selective Messages, the first book of Selective Messages, chapter 63. But then, this is the one that I love the most, says that Christ is what? Is as seeking his lost inheritance. This one says that you and I are the pearl, and that Christ is the merchant, and that he paid the price. The heavy price for you. He gave it all up so that you and I can be saved. Now, these are three different ways that we could look at it. Three different ways. Which one is the right one, Ellen White? They would tell her. Which one is the right one? Which one? Are you crazy? Like, how are you going to have three different interpretations of what this pearl means? But the reality is, what is the one word that you keep seeing there over and over again? Christ. And it just depends on your perspective. Where are you coming from? We all have different backgrounds. We all have different pains. We all have different sorrows. We're all going through something, different stages in our journey. But at the end of the day, it is through Christ and Christ alone. It's how she discovered for herself in her spiritual walk what truly meant that pearl. Christ. Christ is the one that's always working it through. He is the one that is giving us the righteousness. He is the one that continues to seek us, even when we deny him, even when we look away, even when we act like he's not there. He's continually speaking to our hearts, speaking to our minds, and saying, I paid everything for you. I've done everything for you. All you have to do is believe in God and believe also in me. And that is the guarantee for us. Once we accept that gift, that is the guarantee for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not just when he comes in the clouds and all that, but here and here. That is the peace that you will find. No matter what happens in your life, that is the peace that you will find, even in your storm of life. So I wanted to share that with you today because I thought that, you know, going into, now that we're experiencing fall and all these activities are going to happen and things that we're going to do and the evangelism that day that we're really, you know, setting out for in April, you know, I believe that as we get closer and closer to the end of time, more people need to know of this great hope. I was just telling the class today while I was there that, you know, I play I'm in the little basketball league that they have here at the Boys and Girls Club. They put me in it. They're like, hey, Pastor, do you want to be? Can you get your own team? And then I came back and said, I don't really have a team, you know. And then I got another text like 2 or 3 days later. Hey, Pastor, we put you on a team and we already paid for you and everything. And I'm like, what? I don't even know if I could be on the team. Like, and so they put me on there and I said, well, Lord, let me minister to somebody there. And so I was able to minister one day to a young man. He finally asked me, what do you do? You know, and I told him that I was a pastor, and he just opened up, oh man, I've been struggling. I'm a little depressed. I lost my. I thought I had the one. Talking about his fiance, and they broke up, and he's devastated, you know. And he studied for this. He got his master's in this, and he's doing something else. And he just doesn't know his way. You know, seems like a good, genuine man. And God just spoke to my heart, and I was able to kind of, you know, say, well, this is life, and this is this, and this and that. And he left there thanking me, you know. But the one that really, you know, praised God for that, because, you know, God puts those divine appointments. And then the last one was of this one girl where we used to play a lot of basketball, compete a lot. And, you know, she got hurt. She got really hurt. And I thought it was an accident, you know. And she said, no, basically she was in jail and they beat her down really bad to the point where they broke her ankle in such a way where she can never play basketball again, you know. And she was just devastated, and you could tell she had lost 30 pounds. I mean, something, it was just incredible. And I was just like, I didn't know what to say, but the words came out of my mouth and said, can I pray for you? And she looked at me like that was the last hope that she had, my prayer. And I prayed with her, and you know, I continued praying for her. Young soul, maybe 20, 22 years old or so. And so there's a lot of people out there, my friends, that are in need of hope, knowing that there is a heaven, that there is a place that God is preparing for them where they will not suffer anymore, they will not cry anymore, they will not. But you know what? If we're not asking God to give us those divine appointments, I don't know what we're doing with our pearl. You know, we got to share it. We got to share our precious pearl. And so I just want to invite our church to pray. Pray this week that God, if you haven't spoken to someone, that God may give you someone, whether it's a family member, a friend, whoever it is, your neighbor, that God may give us someone to speak and share this wonderful gospel of the pearl. You know, I hope that that is something that you desire. And maybe you're in need of the pearl. I don't know. Whichever way, I think we all are in need of the pearl. If that is the case today, I ask you to please stand while I have this prayer for all of us and our community. Heavenly Father in heaven, we come to you. You know, a lot of times we're distracted by the things of this world, whether it be on purpose or whether things come to us or whatever it is. And we lose focus. We lose focus on that precious pearl. Father, we need you desperately. I need you desperately. Day in and day out, we battle with a lot of demons, a lot of things that come our way. And we don't have the answers to everything. But we know that you do. And we want to put our trust in you. We're tired of seeing the same old thing, doing the same old thing, and having the same result. We want some different results, Father. We desire to have a church filled with new believers. We desire our community to know where we stand. We desire that, above all, Father, that people may know and have the hope in you that one day you will come and bring us all back home. And so we can't wait for that, Father, to happen, but we know that it starts within us first. May we be able to surrender our hearts to you, Father, and our minds, and may we be one with you, Father. We know that Jesus paid the price. What a great price he paid. And so may we not let it be in vain. May we continue looking for that precious pearl every day when we wake up. May it be the first thing that we think of. May we contemplate on it as we speak to others. And may you give us the opportunity to share that great news, the best news ever. We love you, Father, and we just can't wait to see you, but we know that we need to prepare our hearts and mind for that great day and help others to along the way as well. So we ask you this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us stay standing as we sing our